Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. I'm on this morning with a good friend, a fellow who becoming a good friend. I shouldn't jump the gun on that, but his name is Mike. And Mike, we want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell me, Mike, we took a trip over here. You know, as it turned out, I was able to grab you on the way, make life easier. And, you know, we ended up over here and didn't get to discuss an awful lot. And there wasn't rain, so we didn't have to pick up our buddy over here. Jay, by the way, is the guy behind the wires. He's the man who makes the show work. Good morning and welcome, Jay.
Good morning, Scott. Great to be here.
Yeah. So listen, we're going to talk about, you know, some good things and some not so good things. And maybe we'll start with the not so good and end on a good note. But we're dealing with disappointment is one of the topics we're talking about this morning. And if we have a look at today's reading in our life recovery devotional, we find that because we work the step that corresponds with the month, and there's 12 steps in 12 months, we're on step 10, which is the 10th month, which is October, on the day 16, which represents October 16th. What is disappointing for a troubled life? Now, let's just move back into realms of addiction and so on, and I don't know what you're comfortable about talking about on the air, Mike, you know, whether it's, you know, a friend of yours is a terrible addict. We hear an ad recently, and of course it's an ad for one of these sexual products, and the fellow on there keeps saying, and of course this is for my friend, you know, and this is... this is for my friend. Did I mention that this was for my friend? And the fellow interviewing him at the end says, you've never stopped mentioning that this was, yeah, for my friend. But anyway, so disappointment, you know, you've gone through tons of them. I'm sure different kinds of disappointments. Is there anything that stands out, you know, in terms of something that would disappoint you regularly as you work your way you know, through various aspects of recovery? Is there any kind of thing that kind of gets at you that you find disappointing? You know, like for instance, people who are always late, or you know, you are planning to do something, and you know, do you build yourself up too high and then become disappointed? What do you think of when I say disappointment? I mean, you had some thoughts there a minute ago about, you know, what to do so you don't get disappointed. But is there anything in particular that really is a peeve for you in that area?
I would say mostly it would be friends. Relying on friends, and they disappoint you. But over time, I've realized that I'm powerless over people, places, and things. Okay. That I have to accept them for who they are and what they are. Yeah. And I can't put expectations on people, places, and things. Because otherwise I'll be setting myself up for a disappointment. Yeah. And believe me, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
So acceptance is my key. And, you know, I get disappointed about work too when I don't have enough work. Depression can set in really quick, so I have to stay positive at all times and pray and hope that and keep my faith that things will change and get better.
So I think a lot of us are really, you know, vulnerable to, or more sensitive maybe than a lot of people to what's going on around us. And if we are, you know, and I'm one of those. I'm very sensitive. I may not seem that I am, but I am, you know. And it's very easy for me to get triggered the wrong way. So I have to have safeguards, you know. And this program of 12 Steps is the best one I've ever found, you know, between the slogans, the, you know, little short liners, the one-liners, three, four words that kind of settle me down when I need to be settled down, or something that'll make me take the time to back away from a situation and then come back at it, you know. And I think of the slogan that simply says one day at a time, and many people back that up to, you know, a moment, a second, a minute. You know, oftentimes a day is an eternity, isn't it? So,
yeah.
So there's much out there we can get disappointed about, and there's much that'll kind of stop us in our tracks. So, what do you do as a way to prevent yourself from getting into those situations? You mentioned keeping positive. Okay, that's the number one thing. I know you go to a lot of meetings, for instance. You know, and how does your program kind of taking you out of the worry part of that now that you have something that you can do pretty much every day, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, my favorite slogan is principles before personalities. That works for me. I've never used that before until I came to this program. And believe me, it works, because there's a lot of people out there that I disagree with sometimes, and I don't like the way sometimes maybe the way they act or say certain things, but you know, I have to accept them to who they are. I can't judge my program, compare it to theirs, because we're all different. I mean, we're all struggling to stay sober, right? But, you know, we have to figure out and look at ourselves deep. What triggers us? What makes us feel this way? And what's behind it? What's the real feeling, right? Anger, for one thing. There's a lot of feelings behind anger that I never knew about it. I could be jealous. I could be embarrassed. Something someone said about me, you know, and by me holding back and not saying nothing to that person and going to the source and say, hey, I didn't really appreciate what you said. You kind of embarrassed me. And by saying that to the person, it releases that anger, right, that's inside of me. Mm-hmm. I'm letting go and I'm telling somebody exactly how I feel. If I don't do that and hold it in, I'm not working my program properly, right? And it's very important, because you can stuff feelings and hold them inside and they build up, and next thing you know, it's a boiling pot of water with a lid bouncing off the top of it, ready to blow. And I stay away from that. I don't let my anger pile up anymore. It's dangerous for me, and I can hold a resentment in a second.
Well, that's interesting, Mike, because this step, as you know, and you said this step kind of saved you at one point. This step has to do with dealing with our not only disappointments, but you know, our expectations, which we're better off without. But I think we can learn from this step that we have to deal with things as they come along, versus, as you said, letting them pile up. Because for some of us, you know, a pile up could mean the difference between some form of sobriety, whether it be emotional sobriety or substance sobriety or you know, physical sobriety, whatever it is, whatever compulsions kind of rule our lives, it could mean the difference between relapsing into that thing or staying away from it. So being current is super important. And you said something really high on my list there when you said, you know, you've got to express your feelings even as they come along. Now, that leads us into a problem area, because expressing our feelings may be what we have to do to keep ourselves rolling. But by expressing those feelings at certain times, we may be, you know, harming. We may be doing something to our relationship. We may be, you know, hitting somebody where they're not ready to be hit and all this. So, you know, let's stay on that, expressing our feelings for a moment. So when you're tempted to lash out, and I mean, that is an expression of feeling, but it's being reactive as opposed to responsive. So when you know, if you were to react, and the anger would be displayed, but if you were to realize you were triggering anger rather than then do something about that anger, that might mean, like for me, it would probably mean I need to leave that situation. I'd probably need to leave it physically, but I most certainly would have to get away from it emotionally or mentally. So I might have to excuse myself. I might have to just make sure I don't talk. I might have to use my favorite slogan, which is not on many of the boards. It's one big stop sign. And for me, it says, stop, Scott, you know, and I just don't do anything else until I can come back, you know, breathing properly, thinking properly, and then address. And I might not be able to address that thing for some time, But I am being responsible with, you know, the feelings, because in a way I'm doing something with them. I'm, even if it's just with myself, I'm going back, I'm not dropping them, I'm thinking about them, and I'm not exploding. So, I don't know, do you have a history of exploding? Or?
Oh, yeah. I've lived in fear all my life. So anger was my next feeling above the fear, to hide that, right? And to not show it. And to kind of be like a chameleon, you know? Act like everybody else when things weren't really going well inside my head. And I love Step 10, and I recommend this to anybody. If you're having a bad day and or a week and you just can't figure out what's going on, you know, you just feel kind of blahy and maybe a little sad, but if you read that chapter, it'll change your whole life. It's a daily inventory. When you sit at the end of the day and look through your what happened throughout the day, either it was due work or someone you spoke to and then things didn't go too well. You know, those little things bug you all day, and we carry that. Yeah. And it's not really healthy for us to carry those things, because it affects you mentally, physically, right? Because it's constantly on your mind. So we have to learn to let go. I did. And for me, it worked. When I do the daily inventory, I look at every aspect that happened during that day and how I played the part in it. What maybe I could have said or done differently. Because my reaction to any situation is important, because it's going to react to the next person's reaction. So I have to really watch what I say and think about it first before I say anything, because most of the time I stick my foot in my mouth if I don't. So it helps. And to review my day, it really makes a big difference, because you can really serious and take a look at things. If you're in a quiet room by yourself and you go deep and look at the situation and like, yeah, maybe I didn't handle this the right way I should have. All right. Maybe it's best to keep my mouth shut sometimes, you know, and it works for me. I love that step. It's one of my favorite steps.
Yeah. Yep. Right on. Thanks, Mike. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to get Jay to take us out for... No, he's not going to take us out. He's going to take us to where he can get some money to pay for what the station needs, right?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, I think that's a better way of saying it. Time to pay those bills, and we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden.